Welcome back to Behind the Play. My name is Alex Adams, and I am joined by a friend of mine from the hockey news, the one and only Graham Nichols. We've only been really friends since the start of the season, but it's been great, awesome getting to know Graham to begin the season and being just on the beat with him. How are you these days? How has it been coming back to the CTC day in and day out?
It's fun, man. It's a totally unique, different experience than anything I've had the opportunity to participate in hockey so far. So it's like it's totally different. It's unique, but it comes with a lot of like perks and benefits that it's fun. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. And there's like, I don't know, like this is your second year doing this, so it's like the vibes just seem really positive. Like there's a lot of like young guys around the team, like yourself and like Julian McKenzie from The Athletic, obviously. So it just seems like there's like an influx of like fresh voices, like good personalities, and it makes it so easy to come to the rink and just like it's fun.
It's no, I second that. It was funny actually today at practice. Julian just McKenzie made a comment to Tim Baines opening the door. He's like, man, the Ottawa media contingent is just really nice. So it's a good group around. And I think you also mentioned it with I'll add to that with Ian Mendez and Sylvain Saint Laurent. I think the dynamic between the players and media has really changed. And obviously they're winning a bit this year. It's not still early, but I think that there's been a lot of positive vibes around this team between the media, the players. It's just a very different atmosphere in Ottawa to begin.
No, I think you're right. And I think it really, really helps that the team's doing well. And hopefully they continue to do well and play like in competitive games like all the time, because it's been pretty easy so far, right? Like it's just like I can't remember the last time you get through the month of October and it's like the team has a winning record. And they did that with a very challenging schedule. They did that with like Shane Pinto has been out with an injury. Linus Allmark has missed a number of games with an injury, a strain of his own. And obviously, Artem Zub going out against LA on October 14th was a challenge for the defensive group. And you're wondering how the team's going to respond. And is this going to put them behind the eight ball a little bit? But like somehow, some way, they've all pulled together and pulled in the same direction. And they've got a really good thing going on. And it's like, okay. So as they start getting these pieces back together, obviously like Allmark's returned and he's healthy and he's starting to like his first game back against Vegas wasn't great, but like he's starting to show that he's getting back to where the levels that he showed back in previously in Boston. But now you want to see Artem Zub reintegrate into the lineup. You're like, okay, like man, they're missing these guys and they're still doing well. But now once you reintegrate these guys in, it's like you kind of get excited about where this thing can go.
No, what I find really interesting is I think in past years the narrative would be Zub's out, oh my God, the defense is gonna fall apart, or Pinto's out, your third line center, oh my God, what's gonna happen? This is just gonna fall like a Jenga set, right? And
And I don't know how you felt, but like I felt like it had that potential, right? You're like, oh, Travis Hamonic on a pairing with Jake Sanderson, like they're going to be playing tough minutes against the best players on the other team. Like, how's that going to go? Somehow it's like treading water. It's been
it's
okay. Like
fine.
the third pairing has been unbelievable, though. Like,
Yeah, that.
you have no idea how it's going to work. Like, I was kind of worried about Jacob Bernard Docker a little bit. Did you feel the same way?
I felt the same way. I was more worried about Cleven because I didn't think he had a good training camp. And even I think it was after the last game, someone asked him about Cleven and he said, he didn't have a very good training camp, but he's kind of been growing through the beginning of the season. I think him and JBD. I don't know if they were full-time NHLers. Like in my mind, I'm like, okay, they can be your seven, maybe your six. And that third pairing has been, if you look at the numbers, they've been their best pairing in terms of Corsi outshooting opponents. Obviously, not playing against the best lines on the third pair, but I think that's been maybe not the biggest bright spot because there's a lot of bright spots with this team. But I think heading into the season, as you kind of alluded to, the biggest issue for me was how would their third pairing survive and how would they do? And they haven't just tread water. They've been excellent. And if you have a three lines that you can roll on the back end that are out shooting t opponents consistently, then you're going to be a pretty good hockey team.
Yeah, like I know, like they've played sheltered minutes and stuff as well. But I think you're bang on. I think like if you're on the right side of all your shots and expected goals and goal metrics, like for a young third pairing that hasn't really played together. I know like they're both like University of North Dakota graduates and stuff, but like you talk to the players themselves and like they played sparingly together
Yeah.
in the season that they were there together. So it's like, okay, you wonder how it's going to go, especially like just throwing two young guys into the wolves. Like gambling on Tyler Cleven, like coming into the NHL this year and being a full-time regular, like they let Erik Brännström walk, and like understandably so because of the $2 million price tag. But like to bank on Tyler Cleven, even though he didn't play a lot of games last year, I think he played what, like 7 or 8 games last year.
Yeah, something like that.
It like that's a calculated risk, and it, like to this end, it's worked out beautifully. I don't think you could ask like for a better like a first 11 games from him than that. But like you know, just reading scouting reports and watching him play, like you're like, okay, he's a big guy who can skate a little bit, and he's renowned for being physical, right? And I haven't necessarily seen that, but the stuff that's really impressed me is like his active stick, disrupting passing lanes, everything else. But like his ability to headman the puck has blown me away.
Oh.
Like his ability to move the puck well from like D zone through the neutral zone is just like, like I wasn't anticipating that whatsoever. It's been fun to watch.
No, and on that, his partner in JBD, like he's always had a bit of the offense in him, not maybe to production, but just a really good puck mover. And I think that's really been on display too. Like they get hemmed in their zone and they make just good reads, good zone exits, finding their wingers or the centermen. And it's just something when you've looked at the Sens team, it always felt like the third, even sometimes the second pair is like, okay, they can't make the right, like an easy pass to just exit the zone, take off the heat when they're hemmed in. And like maybe bigger picture, you kind of talked about making with Travis Green, Steve Staios betting on Tyler Cleven. It seems as though early on, you look at Allmark, even though he's been hurt, he's been steady. Amadio hasn't been producing, but I think he's actually played pretty well. Noah Gregor has chipped in a couple goals. Obviously, Perron, his line with Pinto had been really good until he obviously, unfortunately, had to leave. Seems like all the bets that Travis Green, that Steve Staios made, including on Travis Green, have kind of worked out so far. I think that the next step for this team is they should be better, as Travis Green said in his, I think after last game, than their record. I think 6-5 is not indicative of their play, and that's maybe that next step for this group is to turn good play into more results.
Oh, 100%. And I think like it takes time, right? Like you bring in a new coach, you know, like obviously they're transitioning from Jacques Martin, who tried to have this team play more responsible hockey last season, and you're transitioning to a new voice with new ideas behind the bench, and like it's gonna take time. Like inevitably, it's gonna take time for these guys to transition and start playing the way that Travis Green wants these guys to play. And that's fair. Like, you know, like people were panicking after the first two games a little bit. They're like, oh God, this is like last year redux. It's like, okay, like pump the brakes. You're talking about a really small sample size of games against like very good teams, like playing Florida off the hop's not easy. The defending Stanley Cup champions. And it's like, it's going to take a little bit of time. And I think like what we've seen over the last 2, 3 weeks is like this team is doing such an excellent job of taking away the middle of the ice, defending well their sticks. And like I sit beside you in the press box and like we're remarking on the fact, like as the game's going on, it's like, when's the last time you saw a team defend this well with their sticks? It's like their body positioning, they're taking away sticks in the offensive zone to get to like loose puck battles. They're just disrupting passing lanes, and they're super aggressive. It's like watching a team of like Mark Stones. And I'm not like, I
Yeah.
know that seems like a big over exaggeration and stuff, but
Sure.
in a sense, it's true because like they're just to a person, like they're hounding the puck, and it's great to see. Like after the past 7 years, like it's like this is a revelation. This is like it's the best hockey I've seen this team play in a very, very, very long time.
And what I find interesting, just talking about maybe going back to Staios, is like he brought in guys that are very good defensively. Like Amadio is a really good 200-foot player. Gregor, even putting Greg on the top line, who's a really good, like it just obviously they've had Tkachuk, Stützle, who have been playing better defensively, even a Drake Batherson as well. But insulating them with players that are very good on the defensive side, I feel like in past years, like bringing in Tarasenko, like okay. Sure, he can score. He's a really good player, but that doesn't really make sense for this team. This team needs much more complete players because they always are in the bottom half in the league and giving up shots and goals against. And so I think this team makes much more sense, no pun intended, than prior years with the additions. And I think you've hit it on the nail. And it's interesting because Brady, well, Timmy, you were there on Saturday talked about how Brady was just, instead of trying to go in for an empty net, was just, dumping and chasing. Then I asked Brady about it, and he's like, it's sometimes last year I probably would have tried to score an empty netter. And I think that is slowly building where this team is like, okay, we can score. I think they're seventh and or eighth in goals for right now. But overall, on the defensive side of the game, it's just a completely new team, and they've always had the talent to score. So now it's combined, and it looks like a really, really good hockey team, to be frank.
Oh, absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's like, it's not necessarily about building the best like fantasy hockey team, which
No.
is like, I think what we've seen in the past, like whether it was like Kubalik or like Tarasenko, you're like, okay, like those guys have put up like some good offensive years. And like, you look at their underlying metrics and like, yeah, there's some strong offensive underlying shot metrics. But at the same time, it's like, oh, these guys are absolutely horrendous in terms of like shot suppression, which leads to goals against, right? And if you look at Ottawa's struggles over the past several years, it's been like the two-way aptitude of their forwards just hasn't been there. And when you start bringing in like the David Perrons, the Michael Amadios, and even just having like Shane Pinto around for a full season, it's like when you start improving that defensive IQ on the defensive side of the puck, it's inevitably going to help, and you start to get the buy-in. I think you're right. Like having strong voices in the room, like a Nick Jansen, a David Perron, like. Those guys have been through some wars, and it's only going to help. It's going to help these. It's going to preach the message that, like Jacques Martin started preaching last season. Travis Green's been preaching it this year. It's only going to help. And it's once you get, and you hit the nail on the head too. It's like once you get the buy-in from Brady and Tim, like how many times like last year did you see like a puck get turned over in the offensive zone by the opposition, and Brady's the first one out of the zone, like cheating for like a chance the other way. And I don't think that's just like his decision. I think like he's coached like you're cheating offense. I think like DJ encouraged that to a large extent last year. But it's like if you can curb that in and just have the guys play on the right side of the puck like all the time, good things are going to happen. And like the Avalanche game, I think was a bit of an aberration that kind of got away from what they've been doing lately. But like to bounce back with two strong games against like the Rangers, and then Seattle, it's just that you couldn't ask for a better stretch. And I'm really, really interested to see what happens tomorrow night against the Buffalo Sabres.
No, you talked about that. What was interesting in that Rangers game is that even just post game, you listen to Shabbat, and I forget who else spoke, but they're like, yeah, we're down two goals, but it can't change our process. It can't change the way we play. And frankly, in the past 2, 3 years, where they had the talent to compete, but would just, okay, we're up two goals, it's free and easy, or we're down two goals, let's just kind of go all or nothing, or just they'd ride highs and lows, right? And I think with age and time and experience in the league, they're building that mindset, but also just learning, like, okay, doesn't matter if we're down two nothing, doesn't matter if we're up two nothing, like play the same way. Dumping pucks, be simple, right? Keep it simple. And I think that's what this team has been doing so far. And I'm just really curious to see if it holds, right? Because that we have a track record where they play some good hockey against some good teams and then fall apart, right? With this core, it does feel different because in my out of like just thinking out loud, outside of maybe the Habs game, the New Jersey game, they weren't great, and obviously Colorado. Outside of those games, they played very well. You could argue even Florida a little bit at the tail end of that game, but they haven't had huge stretches of hockey where they've been completely kind of, there's been a monsoon in their own end, and they're just being hemmed in. And so I think overall, that's the really, I think the for fans and for people who want this team to go to the next level, their consistency has been really the thing. I'm like, okay, this feels real because it's consistent, not because they beat the Kraken on a back to back, right? It's like how stifled them defensively, 1-3-0, right? So it just feels a bit different with this team, but I think.
It just feels like to me, it feels like the defensive effort's there, where it's like, like without even getting into like having like Linus Ullmark as your last line of defense, but like it just seems like, like last year, if they had a bad game, that could bleed into the next game, which could bleed into the next game, and everything would kind of like snowball. And it's just like, okay, here we go. But like this year, that hasn't happened. When they've laid an egg, they bounce back with strong performances. And it just seems like a much more mature, resilient group, than there's been in years past. And it like it's not a function of talent. I think it's just a function of the depth and the fits that they brought in. And it just seems like they're obviously very comfortable to roll four lines, which I think is like really, really helped. I think like having quality of depth on the forward front has been a huge revelation, and it's made things a lot easier for them, especially because like they have like good guys on the penalty kill, and their power play has been really, really, really good. So if you play good defense, you get good goaltending, which they've received in the past like 2 weeks, and you have the special teams clicking, like good things are going to happen. Like for me personally, and like we've had this conversation before as well, off air, but like the only thing that's been concerning to me a little bit is the 5-on-5 offense a little bit, right? Like,
And that's been going up too, like in their
yeah.
past, essentially outside of that Colorado game, I think essentially since the Utah game, so what is that, 5, 6 games, they've hemmed in their opponents at 5-on-5, right? And actually their power play has been not doing it so hot, and it hasn't mattered as much because, you know, against the Rangers, one of the best teams in the league, they, you know, ha what was it, 41 shots against Shesterkin. Most of that was 5-on-5. Same with Seattle against the Blues. They just dominated them 5-on-5. So there's some really good signs that way. But I think that's the next level as well, as you mentioned, is rounding that up. But they're kind of middle of the pack in Corsi,
And
outshot it.
they're missing some bodies up front, right? Like Perron's a good 5-on-5 player, Pinto's a good 5-on-5 player,
Zub.
and then it's just a depth. It's just like a pecking order where guys will slide down in their natural orders. And like, yeah, like missing Artem Zub in your top four, like we haven't really got into the defensive pairings aside from the third pairing, obviously. But like, you know, you bring him back, and maybe Hamonic gets shelved. Like that should theoretically pay dividends for this team's underlying numbers, right?
And that,
So.
yeah, and that pairing of Hamonic and Sanderson has really struggled. At the same time, they haven't struggled, as you mentioned, enough. Like it hasn't been, oh my God, they're just going to get hemmed in completely and it overwhelmed. They've been treading water, and they've been just doing enough. And I think that's what has been good with this team is, okay, Zach Ostapchuk is not as good as Shane Pinto. We all know that. But it does he do a decent job as a third line center? I thought in his couple games that he's been up, he's been very good defensively, blocking shots. As you mentioned, I think against Seattle in the booth when we were upstairs, just like how good his stick was deflecting pucks, right? So there's going to be injuries throughout a season, and every team goes through it. And I think the depth and also just the resiliency of this team has really shone through where, okay, we missed an Artem Zub. Okay, it's not the end of the world. We're missing Pinto and Perron. That's was making up two-thirds of a third line that wasn't producing 5-on-5, but was just excellent as a shutdown pairing. Okay, that's fine, right?
And it's
We
even something as small as like, you know, like the offense was scuffling for a little bit. So what do? They throw the lines in the blender a bit. They just juggle the right wingers, and all of a sudden it's like Ridly Gregg, strong two-way aptitude. Maybe not the best like offensive guy, but like works hard, can get retrieve
Smart.
pucks, battles hard, smart, and then he's got great defensive aptitude, and he's thriving on the first line now. And like Cloger gets bumped down, the second line all of a sudden starts exploding for offense. And you know, like Amadio, I think has had moments, right, where it's like he should have more points than he does. He's a smart player and he's getting chances. He's just the puck's not going his way right now. And small stuff like that, and even having like an Adam Gaudette, like you're non, he's not like your, he's not your, like your prototypical fourth line center. But like the other night, it's like McEwen and Cousins do an excellent job on the forecheck. And with a couple of hits, they turn the puck over in the offensive zone. The puck winds up on Gaudette's stick, and he buries it. And it's when you get like all four lines going like that, it makes it very difficult for the opposition. And it's just fun. It's a fun team to watch right now. And I can't remember the last time I would say that. And like the record should be better. Like theoretically, they could have captured points against like Vegas, Colorado, the
New York.
Rangers, and they could have more than they do right now. But they're like they're in the thick of it. And I think, you know, if you told me at the beginning of the season, you know, like 11 games in, that the record would be above 500 after that tough first month, and then again you're missing Zub, Pinto, and Ullmark for stretches there, I'd be like, that's a good start. That's a really good start. And in theory, as you're playing easier opponents down the line, like, you know, if you're banking points now, then it should theoretically make your margins of error like bigger down the stretch, and that should help. I would hope
I
as the
mean,
season goes on.
my running gag is they're in the mid-Atlantic because it's so mid and everyone's very mediocre. And at the same time, I think they play Buffalo, New York, Boston, Toronto, and Philly. I think that's their next five games. And all of those games, they should, I'm not saying they should win, but they have a very good chance of winning, and they should be the favorites in a couple, right? Especially with the Islanders struggling and banged up, and Philly being just awful to start the season. So you go, I think, at least 3-2, and I think you should be aiming for around 4-1 record, split maybe against Boston and Toronto, and then you're what, I don't know, I'm doing 10-6 or something, or nine and
Yeah.
six, and you're right there and you're in a good position. And I don't think they need to have 100 points to make the wild card like 3 years ago with Washington. You just need to get in that 95-point range, and you might even be a divisional team. And I think there is a lane open for this team if they start converting their good play into points and going on winning streaks, that they could come second in this division. Because if you look at it right now, I think it's Tampa Bay. They're 7-5. The Sens are 6-5, right? The Leafs are 6-6-1, and like essentially the Sens are the third, have the third best points percentage, and are
They
right.
have the best goal differential in their division right now. And they're just not giving up as many goals as the teams ahead of them in the standings, right? Like Boston's got a -8 goal differential. They've allowed 42. Ottawa's allowed 33, but like every other team's played, well, they, mind you, every other team's played one or two more games, but Ottawa, I think if Ottawa keeps defending the way that they have, like if they can replicate, obviously the Rangers game, like they're very, very strong. But like that was probably the sharpest game I've seen them play at 5-on-5, just in terms of what they're doing. I thought the first period against New Jersey, they were very good as well structurally. But if they could just keep that going over the course of the season and generate just a little bit more offense at 5-on-5, I think they've set themselves up very, very well. And the teams I always compare Ottawa to are like the Red Wings, Buffalo, and Montreal, just because those are all rebuilding teams as well. And it's just like what Ottawa is capable of doing defensively is like miles ahead over those
Although
guys.
all three of those teams look really, they're struggling. The Habs are struggling. Buffalo had a really weird start and has been mired in kind of inconsistency. Detroit has a better record than I think their play. Like they've won a couple games where line has just been unbelievable. But I saw them play against the Jets on, I think, last Wednesday. They're awful. And they're so bad in their own zone. So it's really.
A lot of one-dimensional players though in Detroit, right?
And that's kind of what maybe Ottawa was before, right? With and I think the veteran, I think Stamkos was really smart, and we kind of alluded to it, but seeking out veteran players. Like, look at Nick Jensen. He's one I did not know he had that much. I mean, not that he's a super flashy player, but he has pretty good hands, can make a really good outlet pass, can kind of make a couple moves on the blue line. And he's fit well with Shabbat immensely well. And it was interesting because I asked Green about why he kept Shabbat with Jensen when they were struggling to begin the season. And he's like, yeah, I just kind of felt it between them. And I just believed in the group and those two. And now you have a second pairing that really makes a lot of sense. You have a very defensive minded guy in Jensen who's really good on the PK, good at kind of getting, making zone exit, good stick. And then you have Shabbat who's a bit more freewheeling, but you get to let him kind of make his magic and do what he does best is create offense. And just it fits way more, but way better as you alluded to it before. So, yeah, a lot of really good signs. And it's weird because I feel like we're talking about this team as if they're 9-3, but they're 6-5. And I think the losses, the way they lost against Colorado, the way they lost against Vegas is kind of where my hesitation is because you're right there. You have at least a point on the line. The game against Vegas, they should have won the game and they fell apart. And that was similar to seasons prior where they were always in positions to win or even get a point and they fell apart. I think when in 22, 23, that November, they had a bunch of games where they go up and then fall apart. And I think that's the next step for this team is not just playing well, but capitalizing on games they play well and getting points. And sometimes you get Shesterkin like they did, and I don't really fault them too much for that game, but it's capitalizing and making sure they don't have breakdowns when They're against good teams, and everything's coming against them, and not making little mistakes like they did again in those two games. I think that's the next step for this team.
Yeah, it's hockey's so weird, bro, right? Because it's like your best players only play like 20 minutes a night on most occasions. It's like there's so much parity, and it's like, there's so much, like, nobody wants to admit it, but like a lot of results are like predicated on good luck. Like, you have to be good, but you also have to be lucky. And like, you're right. Like, I thought, like, against Vegas and Colorado, there were like instances, especially late, where like the play kind of broke down and like guys are just unmarked in front of the net and they just bury it. And you're like, oh, like, that's not good. But then again, you go back to like the Rangers game and they bounce back, and it's like probably like the cleanest defensive game that they played all year. And then against Seattle, it was very clean as well. Like, I think, like, I feel like 95% of like the crack and chances were from like the perimeter, and like it was easy. They made life very, very easy on Forsberg. So it's to me, it's like, like bad games and you're gonna lay an egg from time to time. It's
For
like,
sure.
how do you bounce back and clean up your game? And like, to this end, like, they've been able to do that. They're not allowing these sustained bad stretches of like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 losses in a row. It's just like they kind of nip it in the butt and then move forward. But like, the one thing I'm hoping they start doing is like stringing together wins, because we haven't seen that yet. So like, that curb the losses, go on a little bit of a winning streak and build up a bigger cushion. I think like that's the progression. Like, you actually go on like a 4 or 5 game heater. I start feeling good about yourself and building up that points total. Because like, you're right, like, it's very, very congested in the East. Like, for as good as Ottawa's played, like, they're only like 1 point up on the 6th place Red Wings, right?
Yes.
So they, at some point, they're gonna have to make a push and accumulate some points. And unfortunately, until that happens, it's gonna be like, well, it's great that you're playing well, but
Yeah, no,
you need the results. At some point, you do need the results, and I think it's gonna come. I think, like you said, I have a different feeling about this group. I think it's just like the camaraderie, the chemistry, the fits are so much better, and this is like a deeper, more talented team that can roll 4 lines and just come at you hard.
Yeah, exactly. And what I find interesting is you're basically echoing what Linus Allmark said, right? I think at the beginning of the season, where it's like, we don't want to lose 2 in a row. Like, we sometimes you lose a game, that's okay, but limiting it, and they've only lost twice in a row, and those were against Vegas and Colorado. Like, no, like, those are two really good teams, and they easily could have got points in those games, and should have, especially against Vegas. So there's a lot of room, like, there's a lot of ways in which this you can be very optimistic. I think, I guess, for you, like, what is the kind of ceiling of this team overall? Like, where do you see that?
Guess it just depends. Like, for me, like, this young core takes them like where they need to go. And I think the young core has been very good, but like, like, we've had this conversation a few times, like at games this year, where it's like, man, like, Brady Tkachuk looks like a split second off, right? And then all of a sudden, like, at the end of the game, you're like, damn, like, Brady had like 3 points tonight. Like, he's putting up a ton of points, and
Points.
you're and like, it's great. Like, he's got like 15 points in 11 games, like 7 goals, leads the team. But like, I don't think he's played his best hockey yet,
No.
at least offensively. Like, I think like he's growing as a player, but like, he's putting up a ton of points, but like, I still feel like he's just, like, he's right place, right time kind of guy right now. Like, he hasn't, I feel like he, even the hat trick game that he had, right? Like, it's just like, I haven't feel like he's taken over a game yet.
Yeah,
And I
no.
feel like it's coming. It's just like, we'll get there.
And I guess the like his partner in crime and Tim Stützle, like, I really feel he's taken a jump in his game, especially defensively. You talk about guys tracking back. I think it was again, I forget which game, but he got in transition and scored. It was just basic. I think it was the Florida game, but I could be mistaken early on. But he, makes a really good defensive play, rushes up in transition and scores, right? And I don't remember the last time I saw Tim Stützle make a defensive play to earn a goal, right? And he's on pace for over 100 points.
That was the Blues game. I think that was the Blues game where he
Think it
had
was the
that.
Blues game. Yeah, that sounds right. But he really seems to be not just kind of, he has what, 16 points in 11 games. It's not just all him cheating, right?
No.
Obviously, that some of it is the power play. But guess what? If you have a lot of talent on your power play, you're probably going to have a lot of score a lot of times and collect a lot of points, right? And now it's translating to more 5-on-5 points like he did against Seattle and against the Blues as well. So I think his elevation alongside, when we can talk about Sanderson too, just that core really feels outside of maybe Kachuk, who's you talked about, who hasn't really played his best, but is producing. Them taking that next level is just like at a certain point, you're too talented to be that bad. And
Oh, for sure. And like even like really Greg just having a year's experience, like he's growing as a player. Shane Pinto, same thing. And I think like we haven't even talked about Josh Norris to this point, but like he's another guy where it's like if he's healthy and producing, like that just adds like another dynamic that the team hasn't had over the past like, well, better part of the last 2 years, right? Like it's such a difference maker and just adds like a quality of depth that you need to be able to compete with the big dogs in the Eastern Conference.
yeah,
So
I mean, for me, I always thought, and it feels like it's going on that trajectory, but we'll see. But if everything went right for this team, they'd be like the Canucks last year, where you're like, oh, they're a decent team, but let's see. And then all the talent comes together and they play at a really high level. And I think with this team, we're seeing a little bit of that, where the guys are maturing, they're learning how to win. They bring in a defensive coach like Rick Tocchet in Vancouver and now Travis Green here. With the Vancouver connection, and it's coming together the right way. But we'll see. You know, November's been a scary month for this team in previous years, and I think they should really come out of November with well above 500, with a bit of a cushion in the playoff race, and kind of have their sets on the playoffs. But we'll see. You
Yeah,
never
like
know.
the back half's a little bit tough, right? You got like Carolina, Edmonton, Vegas, Vancouver. Like those are four pretty good teams. Although like Edmonton, I have no idea like what's going on with McDavid's health. But then you go Calgary, San Jose, and LA to end the month, and like those are conceivably three games that Ottawa has a very good chance to win. So if they can like tread water against the good teams, like you know, if they split the good teams and then beat the teams that they're supposed to, they put themselves in a very good position.
And I think that's the promising sign, is that they aren't losing to bad teams. Like outside of the Habs, they've beat everyone they should beat, and they've lost to essentially everyone they should lose to, right? In New Jersey, Vegas, Colorado, Rangers, like all of those are good teams, right? So, and it feels like, and maybe this is just because it's 11 games, but it feels like whenever they play not a bottom feeder, but a middling team, you're like, okay, like every time they're like, they've kind of handled it pretty well, right? And so, it's going to be interesting. I think the other thing I wanted to touch upon just on Norris a little bit was how good Claude Giroux has been, and why I think they need to sign him as soon as they can if he wants to stay. But he's been, you could argue he's been their best player, like conceivably, through just defensively his impact. If you look at his numbers, with Stützle and Kachuk, they were excellent. Norris and Batherson were struggling, and then he goes on Norris and Batherson's line, and they have like 5 points, and have, I think in my last article, is 22 points in their last 7 games since Giroux has gone on that line. So it's just like wherever he is, he makes a huge impact and is a winner. And it's going to be, I really think they should sign him, because I think he's definitely part of the solution.
Do you think that's a concern, or it's just like that's just like a narrative? Like it's just I like to me it just feels like that's a talking point. Like to me, like I've never felt like there's any real concern because like
I don't think it's a concern, but I think you want to do it as soon as you can, because to be frank, I don't think he thought that he wouldn't have made the playoffs by year three of his contract, right? And there's still a chance, like who knows, like maybe
yeah,
everything.
possibly. I just feel like I just feel like if someone's
I don't,
family made
yeah.
a point of like saying, "Hey, like let's come home. I want you to play at home." And then you have like your third child and then, you know, like to me it's just like, well, like have the circumstances really changed that much? If not, like I feel like the family dynamic aspect of it has just gotten that much stronger. Like
Yeah,
I mean, like I haven't talked to him about it personally, but like I just feel like,
the
you
only
know,
thing I would say is just he's such a competitor and he hasn't won a cup. I think if he had a Stanley Cup, I'd be like, he's not going, and there's no thought of it. That's the only thing that gives me reservations about.
I suppose, but
I don't
like
think it's
I
likely that he goes. That's not my point. It's
yeah.
more just I think they need to get it done to kind of show to the group, hey, like we believe in you guys, and hopefully it translates into kind of what they want, right? It's a consistent.
Yeah. I just feel like if they ever had to get, if they ever reached a position at Crossroads, it's like, okay, we have to move him because we're not a playoff picture. Give him one last chance to win. I feel like he'd be the kind of person who would just wind up re-signing here in the summertime anyways,
Yeah,
and he
probably.
would come back. But I like, it, to me, it's just a huge talking point. Obviously, like Elliot Friedman's been banging the drum on the podcast with like Kyle Bukauskas the last few episodes anyways, talking about it. But I just feel like, I don't know. And maybe it's just like pure ignorance on my part. I
I
just
think
feel
it's
like it's just like, you know what? If he made that decision to come here a few years ago when the team wasn't very good, it's to me, it's just like this team feels like it's on an upwards trajectory and they're in a way better spot. And I just have a hard time believing that he would pursue other
I would agree,
opportunities.
but I think if this team was flailing, it would be a completely different narrative. And I mean, that's kind of the point in with this team years prior is okay, you suck, and then every single narrative that's negative comes to light. It's why Giroux won't come, won't stay. What's wrong with this core? We need to trade Brady Tkachuk. Obviously, I don't think that was going to happen, but just like everything comes to the surface. But when you start playing good hockey, those go to the wayside, right? No one's really talking about Nick Jensen's future or like that trade and why it was bad or good or like it just it things kind of change and it's interesting to see it with this team.
Now it's like who comes out of the lineup because they're playing well and all these guys are starting to return. And that's like, yeah, that's just like the progression. I feel like that's the natural progression of the team right now.
Yeah, it's funny. I forget who I was talking to, but just as someone who's a resident Jets, I don't know if I want to call them a fan, but my cousin works for the team. My dad's a diehard fan, and like Cole Perfetti wasn't playing, like he was healthy scratched because the team was good. And you have these weird decisions where it's like, okay, young player versus established guy. You're winning. You're on a winning streak. What do you do? Who's your bottom pair? Defenseman like Hamonic, if Zub comes back, is it Hamonic, JBD? I mean, to me, it's an obvious answer and it has to be Hamonic, but these are the questions that we really haven't had in Ottawa because, okay, kind of know who the fourth liner lines are or the third line is, and they're very settled and there's no real competition. And I think that drives some winning too, is when it's like if you look at, I don't know, Noah Gregor or Michael Amadio or Zach Ostapchuk, they're like, okay, well, I don't want to be on the fourth line, I want to be on the third line. Right. And then you see the fourth line dominate. It's like, oh shit, like I need to step right. And there's a bit of that internal competition that really has been lacking with this team in years prior.
Yeah, 100% agree with that.
Yeah. I guess, before I let you go, I know I asked about the ceiling of this team, but what do you think the expectation should be for this team? Like, is it like it feels like we've talked so
I
highly
feel
of
like that's
the
kind of
past
like
few playoffs.
predicated on the teams around them too, right? Like it's not just Ottawa dependent. Like I think like everyone's been talking about competitive hockey for the last few years, the past several years, and that's what people want to see. They want to see like meaningful games all the way to the end of the season. But I think like there's no reason why this team can't be better than Boston. There's no reason why this team can't compete with like Tampa Bay or even a Toronto for like a playoff spot atop the division. Like I think this team theoretically should be like miles ahead of like Detroit, Buffalo, Montreal. I think Florida is just a very, very strong team. And I don't think Ottawa's there yet, but like anyone who's not Florida, I think this team has a chance to hang with. And that's not just Ottawa. I think the teams ahead of them are very flawed. I think they're aging. All three of the teams that are historically finishing ahead of Ottawa that aren't Florida, like Tampa, Toronto, and Boston, like those are all older clubs that have lost some good players over the years. And I think like Ottawa has a chance. Like I think they're probably the youngest of that group. And theoretically, well, I mean, Vasilevskiy, you never know, but I think Ottawa should theoretically have better goaltending than Toronto and maybe even Boston, right? So,
We'll
if
see.
special teams continue to show up for the team and they start playing better offensively at 5-on-5, I think like why not? I think that's a question for me. It's just like, what do you think the ceiling is? It's like, well, why not us? Like, what's how can you know, like I've Boston, we've been waiting for the wheels to fall off for several years, and now it looks like we're finally close to that threshold. So
I finally feel I think I wrote in one of
excuse
my
me.
articles, but it's like they're finally becoming the sum of their parts, right? It
That's a
made
great way to put it. Yeah.
right because it felt like in years prior, okay, what's wrong with this team? Like you have so much talent and you fall apart. And I think a lot of that is defensive and learning how to play hockey the right way and defensively and not just going for goals. But some of that is just coming together and playing the right way, but also to the level of your talent. Like if they, let's say they come third in the division, right? You look on this team on paper, if you go like on Daily Faceoff and you look at the lines and you go down the Atlantic and you're like, okay, yeah, Ottawa is probably the third or fourth most talented team in the division and maybe the fifth or sixth in the conference, right? Like it you're not like, oh my God, how is this team doing well? It's just because in prior years they've always struggled.
And I think part of that is like you needed the young core to kind of learn how to play the right way, right? Like obviously you've talked to like Tim and Brady in the room and they're saying all the right things, but I mean like they've been saying the right things for years, right? Like it's been a lot of lip service. It's like, well, like now it feels like it's actually materializing. Like there is that buy-in, there's that recognition that's like we can't just rest on our laurels and be like good young prospects that were drafted like top 10. It's like, no, like you got to take those natural progressions to play well and efficiently at 5-on-5. And I think we're finally starting to see that materialize. And I think like for this team to take that next progression in the franchise development, like that's exactly what they needed. And if you get that buy-in, like I think Jake Sanderson's the anomaly. He's been good since day one, but I think with like Brady, Tim, Norris, Batherson, even like Thomas Chabot, I think like you need those guys to tighten up defensively and play better. And I think we're finally starting to see that.
No, I don't have the quote like off the top of my head, but even Chabot was talking. He was in my article yesterday, but he's like in the past, like in the defensive zone, it was like we didn't really like it was like it was gray. We didn't fully know, and now it's black and white. Like now we know what to do, where to be, and it feels like the young core on the defensive end is like, okay, this is how you play defensive hockey. It's simple. It's back checking hard, having a good stick, not cheating on offense, and then you get wins and you get more offense through your defense, which Green has really talked about is kind of the defensive side translating to offense. So, yeah, before I let you go, Graham, you had a really great article about friends of the show and Ian Mendez and Sylvain Saint-Laurent heading up the Sens comms department and their transition from obviously Ian was amazing in his day for Sportsnet, TSN, and then previously at The Athletic, and Sylvain was at Le Trois, and then I was with him all the time at PWHL Ottawa, or no, PWHL or Ottawa Charge. Just maybe talk about that story before I let you go, and feel free to plug it as best as you can.
So I like what when I knew I was getting a gig with the Hockey News, like one of the first things I want to do is like reach out to those guys, because I don't think to that point anyone I know like Sylvain's done some like availabilities like French radio in the city and stuff, French sports radio, where he's kind of talked about it a little bit, but like to this end I don't think anyone else had really written about extensively like how this came to fruition. Like it seems kind of weird that like two longtime journalists would just take over professional franchises like comms department. Like it seems very just, I think it's an anomaly. And yeah, it was really cool. I sat down with those guys after a morning skate, maybe a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and then just had the opportunity just to chat with them. And they just got in depth. I think like I post that article on the Hockey News, but like there was so much more to it. And I think I'm gonna like post the transcript on my own personal blog in like the next day or two, because there's like they sang the praises of like other people that just it didn't make the cut for the article, but like Locked On Sens podcast and like you and Brent Wallace, just like you know people who didn't necessarily come from like the traditional like legacy journalistic background, and myself is included in that. And you're seeing like doors open for these cool people, and they talked about that, and there's just a lot of just there's cool like anecdotal stories throughout it, and it was just cool to sit down with them. And it's again, like you said, like the vibes, like I was obviously wasn't around last year, but like the vibes around this team just seems so much better. And I think those two have been kind of like catalysts for some of it, at least.
No, I mean, what I really like is obviously them opening it up to people like Locked On Senators and coming in hot with Brent Wallace and you, of course, you've been doing amazing work. Like it just there's a lot of good people that don't come from legacy media. As much as I love my job and I'm not complaining, but I think it's right to have, more outlets, more people who really know the team. Like no one would look at Brent Wallace and be like, ah, he doesn't know what to do, right? Or even the Locked On Senators guys who didn't come from a, well, they did in a sense, but are a podcast, but like they've had essentially every player on the Senators of any kind of, real, sway or kind of like they've had Sanderson, Stützle, Brady, everyone, right? They've had,
That's
so
a testament to the work that they do, right? So,
yeah. And
like, if people do good work, it gets recognized, and that's important. I think, like, that's the wave of the future, and I don't think it's going to stop under these guys. As long as you're professional and courteous and you do good work, I think, like, more doors will open for people of that ilk. So it's exciting, and the vibes are good. So it's fun to be around right now.
yeah, and I think that's what, I always think about it as with my job, that I'm a conduit for the team, or for fans, sorry, right? And they don't know what Jake Sanderson's like. They don't know what Tim Stutz is like. They don't know what it's like to be in the room or be at practice. And our job, in a sense, is to kind of be that mediator, right?
Yep, for
And
sure.
I think the more people in the room that can tell different stories, right? Like, I didn't have that story. You had that story, and it was a great story, right? Like, and I don't mean it selfishly, but if you're not there, then who's telling that great story about Mendez and.
And that's one of the cool things that they said. Like, they in their heads, like they have maybe a list of like 20 stories that they can get to and they've thought out, but it's like if you pitch a great idea, they're not going to say no to it. They'll try and make it happen. And I think that's the cool part. It's like they understand that they have, like, okay, here's the Athletic, here's Sportsnet, here's the Hockey News, sorry. And, like TSN. So here's 20 stories. We'll give like four or five each. And this way you're hitting as many fans as you can, because ultimately that's what matters. You have to put as many stories in front of fans as possible. And it helps build that connection and makes it stronger, right? So that's the important thing. You just want to build this out. And I feel like in the past, fans were kind of taken for granted and they didn't receive those opportunities. So,
And hopefully it translates to a good season for the team and for the fans who deserve a playoff berth eventually. My golden ticket is a Leafs Sens first round. I just
that'd be
shaved
sweet.
early
That'd be very
2000s,
strong.
but
And then beat them. They have to beat them. But I hate to do this to you, but I have to go.
I know. I was literally about to say, thanks so much, Graham, for taking the time and doing this. Let's do this again, and
Sounds good, man.
good
Would
luck
love
with
to.
everything, and I'll see you at the rink on later this week. Take
Sounds
care.
good. Thanks, Alice.